AgBioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
Agrinovus has such great momentum, reach, really great in terms of just its network within AgBioscience, and the opportunity to help the sector, support the sector and its growth also really drew me to the role.
Welcome to AgBioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience, another month gone by. It's the end of August. Who knew, people? I'm Kayla Chittister, the producer of the podcast, and we have not one, not two, but three microphones plugged in today. I have a rule in this studio, and I think I've said it before, we do not bang on the table in the Ag Bioscience studio, but today...
Today,
Libby, we are going to do a slight drum roll because we are not providing a president and CEO hiring update in this studio.
We got Libby, one.
We've got one, and she is in the studio with us, Agrinovus president and CEO, Christy Wright. Hi, Christy.
Hi. Thanks for that drum roll. Wow. I've never had a drum roll introduction before.
Well,
we're always welcome. Happy to be the first.
Yes.
Thank you.
And we will never bang on the studio table again.
Got it. Noted.
As I'm sitting on my hands.
Yes. Welcome.
Thank you. It's been a great first week.
I was going to say, you're week one into the job.
Yes. Yes. A week and 2 days, actually, if we want to be precise. And it's been amazing. It's been great. I've spent a lot of time with the team, spent some time with visiting with our stakeholders, coming up the learning curve as quickly as I can. Really, it's really been great.
It's been a lot of fun. And you've had a chance, I think, to be out there and talking a bit about your story. But if people haven't gotten caught up, tell them a little bit about you. Walk them through the Christy Wright story.
Well, I am originally from Fort Wayne. So I grew up in a suburb in Northeast Indiana and grew up in a family that really valued purpose and service. I went to IU. So I'm one of those odd ducks in agriculture that
There's two at this table.
I get it.
Yes. I love that. We are kindred spirits. Like, I do remember coming into agriculture and everyone was like, what? You didn't go to Purdue? So went to IU, studied public affairs and nonprofit management. And then I started my career in nonprofit management. Then I had an experience that really made me passionate about food security. And so I shifted my focus over to agriculture. And I like to say I recruited myself into ag. I started my agriculture career at Dow AgriSciences, predecessor to Corteva, and spent 15 years there in various roles within our U.S. commercial business and then in our global business. And my last role there was leading our global food systems team. So really getting to work across the value chain, managing partnerships, and was a great career. And now I'm here looking to really deepen my impact and continue serving.
When you looked at Agrinovus and the opportunity to deepen that impact, what was it about this move that really sang to you, spoke to you, made you say, yeah, I'm going to try to take that leap?
I think it was two things. Number one, I really care about Indiana. I mentioned I'm a lifelong Hoosier. I think there are so many things about this state that are unique and that are special, and I really want to be part of driving its success and taking the skills that I've gained and putting it toward Indiana, including, you know, work globally. So this will be an opportunity for me to kind of focus my energy on Indiana and on impacting its economy. And secondly, Agrinovus has such great momentum, reach, really great in terms of just its network within ag bioscience, and the opportunity to help the sector, support the sector and its growth also really drew me to the role. So not the team, though. The team didn't draw me to Just kidding.
The team is excellent. We always said it had to be a special person to come work.
Yeah. No, the team is a key part of what it drew me here, actually. So just an excellent group of people who are great in their expertise areas and also who are passionate and who are purpose-driven. And that's really clear and really special about Agrinovus.
You had a chance last week, speaking of purpose-driven, to sit down with some really purpose-driven leaders 3 days into the job, right in front of the public, 120 people at Agrinovus's quadrant. what was that experience like to get up on stage, represent the organization, but also to have a conversation with leaders like Karen Plout, Kevin Still from Keystone Cooperative, you know, Beth Archer from Agri Institute, just talking about leadership in action. You also had Brian Barker, who, you know, former boss of yours, but also the CEO of AgriLiant Genetics.
It was a great experience. I will be honest and say when I learned that I was going to be moderating on my third day, I had about 30 seconds of deer in headlights moment. But the panelists are so excellent, just absolutely at the top of their game, and their generosity and sharing their, you know, their learnings with us. I thought they did a great job. And I will also say that one thing that I loved about that event is it reminded me again how warm the ag community is and how supportive the ag community is. Really, that's a very unique thing about agriculture and about Indiana agriculture, is that people want to help each other succeed. And so that was just a really wonderful thing about that event from my perspective on Wednesday. I don't know. What did you two think? How did you feel about the event?
I mean, the crowd was so excited. I really appreciated it, not only for the fact that you were day three into the job, but you led the panel and you listened and you were repeating back key themes. And then it was really nice to see afterwards the amount of people that were so welcoming and excited for you to be there. And it just felt like a new era. Can I say it? Was starting for AgriNovus, and that excitement to catch on and to lead us into this next phase was just a tangible last week.
I would agree. It felt very much like a turning of a page, a brand new party. It was a lot of fun. Some could say it was a total vibe.
A total vibe. I love that.
Well, we're very glad you're here, because it has been quite the month, Christy, and we have quite a few stories we're going to get to. And so welcome to the first newsletter episode of Ag Bioscience. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What is this, day seven of, I mean, working? Yes. You had a weekend off,
yes,
right? Like, so day three, we threw her to 120 people on a quadrant stage. Day seven, we put a microphone in front of you and say, let's do a month-end recap together.
This doesn't count the media opportunities I made her do before she started, which, by the way, if you would like to read Christy's feature in Ag Funder News that she did with Elaine Watson, which was wonderful, we'll link that in the show notes for you. She also had a piece with Hoosier Ag Today that came out on, we're recording this, it's a Tuesday. It came out today, so I'll link that in the show notes as well. So without further ado, we're gonna dive right in and talk about something that came out last week late, I think. Superior Ag and Premier Companies are exploring a possible merger. The idea that this is coming out of a strategic position of commitment to innovation and even deeper value for their farmer members, which I think is, you know, times are a-changing.
I think when you look at the landscape of agriculture, this is a move that these two companies probably had in their sights for a while. I'm excited to see how it can serve the farmers in Southwest Indiana, North and Central Kentucky, and then parts of Illinois too. This will be a large merger that comes together. So we'll be looking forward to timelines and opportunities of what those next steps are.
You know, I'm recalling some of the conversation at the Quadrant last week and the comments that we heard from Kevin Still and from Brian Barker. They shared a couple of things about mergers, right? And about how do you get your team aligned and how do you move quickly, even when the future is a little bit uncertain. And I thought they shared some really great advice. I mean, they really talked about rallying around mission and purpose, values of the organization. You know, Libby, you mentioned it. The landscape is really changing in Indiana and in our neighboring states from an ag retail perspective. And so we'll be really interested to watch and see how they continue to evolve their services for farmers, and excited to see that.
I mean, to build on that, I remember Kevin Still at the panel saying growth was his North Star. If you're not moving fast with accuracy toward growth, what are you doing? And then Brian had an analogy, and I'm always down for an analogy, which was when you're merging, put the two teams are now wearing the same basketball uniform. You're welcome, Kayla.
Thank you.
You can say it's IU basketball uniform if you want. And so you have to have that mentality of all on the same team now. You're all in that same color. You're all moving together. And I thought those two pieces, when we were talking about mergers on that panel, were just so impactful.
Timelines and opportunities for member input are going to be provided in the coming weeks. So there's plenty of information that will roll out from this. This is very much a preliminary announcement, but stay tuned. We will continue to provide information on Superior Ag and Premier Companies and this possible merger as things move along. So that's story number one. But in the vein of, you know, serving the farmer and farmer needs, the Agronovus team had an opportunity to attend a really unique event. And I really want to say shout out to Indiana Farm Bureau because they're doing really unique things right now. We went to their first critical issues summit middle of the month, and what an opportunity to examine how the farm is being impacted from a local level all the way up to a global scale. It was a really unique event.
It was. Also, kudos to the Farm Bureau team. They pulled off this event so well, and they were doing some real-time adjustments. So give them all the kudos for that. But their opening keynote speaker, Brett Sciato, was just, it was so great. And from the Agronovus audience perspective, last year, Agronovus released Accelerate 2050. Mm-hmm. And the piece of research that he was talking through, it just married so well to that piece of research. I wonder if we can get that in the show notes because it is a public document of that research. And so he was talking about food access, nutrition, what that does to health and then farmers, how we have always valued commodity to be, and in the U.S. specifically, to be low cost. And is that the future of that market? Is commodity prices, corn, soybean, going to stay low price, or do we switch in agriculture and make it a high value commodity? Is that how U.S. farmers move through that? It was a great conversation, great piece of research. Kayla, I think you have more on that, right?
Yeah, we'll have that coming up. But we also had the chance. I spoke with Indiana Farm Bureau President Randy Crone about the event, and he talked about that keynote specifically and the idea that this event was designed to challenge the status quo way of thinking about things. They wanted people to think differently, if not for just a moment, about the issues at hand and how they need to be approached. And Brett's keynote was really, really designed to do that. And so we actually have Randy's interview, and we're gonna play that right now. And so here's Randy Crone from Indiana Farm Bureau on Ag Bioscience.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. I'm Kayla Chittister, producer of the podcast, this week's guest host, and a special bonus episode as we are at the Indiana Farm Bureau Critical Issues Summit. And I am here with the leader of it all, Randy Crone, president of Indiana Farm Bureau. Randy, first of all, thank you for making time on what I am sure is a busy day for you.
Thank you. Happy to be here. It's been a great day so far.
It has been a fantastic day. There have been so many learnings and takeaways, and this event is truly unique, and we're going to dive into all of that. But first of all, just talk a bit about the event itself, the idea behind it, what today has been so far.
Like I said, it's been a great day, but I think the intent of this, it's been talked about for a couple of years, but to bring all of ag together and what I would call the barnyard, whether agribusiness or commodity groups, to bring them all here and then have some thought-provoking speakers. And, you know, with Brett Sciato from
Idealist Innovation.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
That's a tough one to say.
I walked all over it earlier.
But, you know, that's a great way to kick this off because, he's pretty thought-provoking. And, you know, the challenges facing ag and where we're going and, you know, we can't, status quo is not acceptable in ag. And if we're status quo, we're going to be left behind. And how many farmers do we need? And I mean, his viewpoints are great. And it was a wonderful way to kick this off, to get started, to make us think. And then we've had a number of other panels and, you know, to talk about from trade to local government. And so we span from national to local issues, which I think is critical. And then also it's good for our members to think about this this from a policy side of things, because tomorrow's our policy delegate session. So this helps spur, is our policy right? Do we have the right policy? And it brings new perspective. So as we go forward, we hope they'll use some of this information they gathered today to make sure our policy book, our policy positions are in the right place.
You know, you talk about this perspective of where we're at right now, and nobody is perhaps more uniquely positioned to talk about the perspective of the farmer than Indiana Farm Bureau. And so from that seat and the seat of the farmer, we talk a lot about uncertainty on the Ag Bioscience podcast and innovation paving the way to create opportunity in times of uncertainty. But how has the uncertainty that farmers are facing created this opportunity today? What sort of things have you been hearing from farmer members about what they're experiencing, the issues they wanted to talk about that sort of paved the way for today's sessions and how they were constructed?
It's pretty broad. Some of it is just, how do we survive? How do we pass the farm to the next generation? And how do we need to change our farm operations to survive? You know, to some of the discussions of, you know, the margins are pretty tight in agriculture now. And like you said, uncertainty. Then we look at trade, which the trade panel was excellent. You know, where's opportunities? There are opportunities out there. And, you know, every challenge, every crisis also has opportunities. And I think it's important that we try to pull those nuggets out. Sometimes we can get so focused on what the problem is and we forget to look and figure out where is the opportunity? What can we do to make our farms better, our agribusinesses better? And that's our hope. You know, we're not going to get the answers here today, but what I hope is we spur more conversations and we have more debate and more discussions. And, you know, agriculture is always good rising to the challenge. And I think we're great at that. But sometimes we need a little kick in the boot and say, you know, to make us think a little different. And these times are going to require us to think different so that we can be prosperous in the future.
You touched on this a little bit ago, but what I have thought is really, really thoughtful about this agenda today is it's everything from building local communities and that sort of local economic development all the way up to global trade and what we're seeing on that stage and all of its complexities. And so as you've kind of worked through that, what have you seen come out of these conversations that are so broad and varied in terms of their reach and what has been the themes you have seen kind of come out of this that are spanning the entire day, if you will?
I think part of that is, you know, we can get wrapped up in our own little world, our own situation on our farm or what's going on. And I think this here today helps you broaden your perspective. You know, there's a lot of world issues going on, trade issues going on. But we wanted to add a local component to it. So that was to help us step back, help us think about, what can we do in our communities? What can we do on our farms, you know, our agribusinesses? How do we help each other? And yeah, ag is great about coming together, helping each other. And, you know, we're agriculture survivors. You know, I think that sometimes the challenges and you can kind of get yourself down. But actually, to me, this today, there was a lot of challenges and, you know, we've got problems, challenges, whatever you want to call it, going on. But I think also my hope was you can see there are some opportunities in here and things that we need to work on, but we'll only accomplish them if we work together.
Brett Scotto, who keynoted this morning from Idealist Innovation, we had a chance to talk to him in interview for the podcast earlier, and he talked a lot about the variables that you can control and the ones that you have no control of and how much time and energy farmers give to the ones they have no control over and focusing more on those opportunities to give control to the ones that they do have actual control of. It was very thought-provoking in a way that I think it illuminated the room a little bit this morning. And so just a new way of thinking about things today.
He does a great job. Yeah. And when we said we were doing this critical issue summit, he was one of the first one. Him and Scott both are just great at what they do. This is probably my fifth or sixth time hearing him. And I take a little more, a few nuggets away from him each time. But he does bring it in perspective. And, you know, I realize there's some things that we can't control, some of the trade issues going on, tariffs, you know, there's a long list of things, but there are things we can do. And how do we manage our farms? Where are the opportunities on our farms? And, you know, there are some out there, and those that innovate will be successful and they'll make it to the next generation. And I think this, that's what part of this is, you know, how do we help our farms? How do we pass it on? And, you know, my son's running our farm now, and I want him to have the same opportunities Joyce and I had.
Yeah, absolutely. I think something that's really unique about Indiana, we have this cadre of people here today. You've got the largest pure play agriculture company in the world with a table. You've got this gigantic cooperative sitting in the front row. You have all these farmer members. There's organizations. Agrinovis has a table here today that I'm a part of, and there's policymakers. Everybody is here, and I don't know that that happens a lot of other places where you bring this intersection of all of these different industry players to have these kinds of thoughtful conversations. Can you talk to sort of that differentiated value of what we're able to accomplish because we uniquely come together like this in Indiana?
I think at Farm Bureau, we're proud of the group that's in this room today. And that was intentional. We did that. We were pretty strategic in the invitations and trying to get the right people in here. And it's a broad spectrum, like you said, from agribusiness to farmers, trade representatives. It's all very critical. And I think we have to look at this together, because each of us can have a piece of the opportunity and we can work together. If we forget that, you know, we can be left behind. You know, I'm an avid believer that status quo is not acceptable. And Brett kind of mentioned that today, that if we're staying status quo, or if we're content with just where we're at, the world's passing us by and we probably don't survive. So you have to be striving. My dad always taught me you should be striving to always do better. No matter how good you are today, there's always opportunities to be better, and you should be looking for those. And I think that's what Brett and some of the other speakers have conveyed today. There are opportunities. We have to work on those. You know, are they going to be easy? No. Some of them are pretty big lifts. But if we do it together, I think we can accomplish some really good things, and agriculture can have some good days ahead.
Absolutely. And as you look ahead, as people walk away from this today, what do you hope are their biggest takeaways and their calls to action, that sort of rally cry of what they do next, not maybe sort of what they think as they walk away, but what do you hope that next step is?
Probably several pieces. Tomorrow's our delegate session, I said earlier, and I hope some of our delegates are here. I hope they take pieces of this to the delegate floor to make sure our policy's in the right place. But then others, I think if nothing else, I hope we get some collaboration out of this, because sometimes the barnyard doesn't work together as well as we should. And whether it's agribusiness or, you know, farmers or anybody in between, I do think we can come together and work. And I hope by having different ones sitting at the table here that we can learn to just have conversations. To me, this today is the beginning of the conversation. It's not the answers, and we're not done. This is just the start of the conversation that we need to make sure ag stays relevant and hopefully profitable long term.
Well, it was a fantastic start, Randy. We were really happy to be a part of it. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. That was Randy Crone from Indiana Farm Bureau. Let's move on to some good news for one of our startups. 2 years in a row, Robin Heine stays working for Intellinair. They have been named the AgTech Data Analytics Company of the Year by AgTech Breakthrough for the second consecutive year.
I mean, congratulations to Tim Hassinger and the Intellinair team. Tim Hassinger, familiar name for you there, Christy.
Yes, for sure. I have long admired Tim. He was the CEO of Dow AgroSciences when I was working there early in my career, and a great leader. So not surprised at all to see him and Intellinair having success. You mentioned Robin Heine as well, one of the vice presidents at Intellinair. She's excellent. So very exciting, great recognition for the work that they're doing in ag and food tech, and congratulations to them.
The good news didn't end with Intellinair.
No, it did not, Libby. Another startup out of Notre Dame, actually, Flow Vision, They raised $8.7 million to expand AI tools for the food processing industry. So Rian McDonnell, Notre Dame graduate, they're actually headquartered out of Innovation Park up at the University of Notre Dame. A really interesting technology. They use computer vision sensors and monitor and analyze food products in real time as they kind of move through production lines. And the system collects data on yield, quality, labor performance, and can detect product defects, grading issues, and foreign materials. And so a big raise for them, led by Insight Partners with participation from Sera Ventures, SOSV, and Rockstart. An opportunity for growth. A really big deal for Flow Vision.
It is. And they launched in 2020. So a lot of work over the last 5 years. Rian has been busy. But this is the second announcement out of Notre Dame for Agrinovis alumni this year, which is Nutripop, a Velocity winner, was also out of Notre Dame. And so I continue the great work that Notre Dame is doing, continue to find that way where AI and sensoring can move into agriculture. And I believe one of Christy's quotes in the Ag Funder News article was, we are at this area where it's not going to be one thing that helps move us forward. It is all of AI, sensoring, gene editing coming together, and that is the path forward.
Mm-hmm. It's such an interesting time. And this, what Flow Vision is doing, utilizing AI tools for food processing, is, I think, a really great case in point to how AI can improve productivity and cost and quality all at the same time, as well as food safety. So really great innovation, really great application of AI, and easy to see how this can positively impact the food and agriculture industry. Exciting that they've gotten some additional funding.
We'll link Flow Vision's full story in the show notes if you want to learn more about what they do and where they're expanding to, because it's growing rapidly. I think he said their revenue growth over the last year is in the range of about 3.5 times. So growing really fast. We'll link it in the show notes so you guys can go read it. And it's an interesting transition as we talk about the University of Notre Dame and this comeuppance into ag bioscience and its growth. As we just capped off the Field Atlas Ag Bioscience company tours for 2025, what a group that we had join us in August.
In total, 40 students, which is cap for the program.
Yeah.
More applicants than what we were able to allow into the program. Thank you to Indiana Corn Marketing Council and Indiana Soybean Alliance as being the presenting sponsors for the company tours this year. The students had an opportunity just last week, the week before, to visit Corteva and Ingredion. And so to get into that food system, how it all ties back to ag biosciences, that group of 20 students had such a unique opportunity.
Yeah, sophomores all the way up to PhD candidates were accepted into the program, biology majors to data analytics students. It was a really, really great range. And what a great professional development experience that's been created because of Indiana Corn Marketing Council and Indiana Soybean Alliance's sponsorship.
I agree. But it does, while the 2025 season of company tours is over, it just means that we get to plan for 2026 now.
Indeed. And if you are interested in being a company that hosts these wonderful students and the future of the industry, you need to let us know. We would like to hear from you. And you can do that by emailing us at fieldatlas@agrinovisindiana.com. If you are interested in being one of the companies that we stop at, we are actively looking at planning those right now. And we would love to hear from you. So please reach out, fieldatlas@agrinovisindiana.com. I'll also put that in the show notes. That planning is happening right now, but it won't happen forever. So don't wait. Because Karis on our team moves really, really fast, and that window will close quickly.
I love it. Hey, congratulations, Christy. First month end recap.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
We were pretty buttoned up today. Only 3 Taylor Swift references.
I mean,
in the whole podcast.
Could end it with a fourth one.
I didn't pick up on the Taylor Swift references. Oh, I'm going to have to listen through again.
Yep. That's how we get the downloads. As always, get all the ag bioscience news you need all the time at agrinovusindiana.com. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, I'm Kayla Chittister saying thank you for listening. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau. Produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez. Photography and design by Kaylee Verstay. Video by Darren Cooper and 1898 Creative. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, listen, and review. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience online at agrinovusindiana.com.